expensive to get.
Right, they, because they're not excluding you from having a coronavirus vaccine.
It's private college, and she was accepted into Missouri, so I guess I'm accepted on the road.
They can, I thought it was UNR.
No, but last I heard, she was going to the local community college here.
Well, that's good, it's cheaper anyway.
Talking back.
What does she want to study?
Hospitality services.
Oh, gosh, this is the state to do it.
You get rested, you're all free.
Where did she get back?
The state is hospitable.
Sunday.
Pardon?
The state is hospitable?
Of course we are, because they want all the money.
And all the tourists.
Well, our motives are not the best.
Has been there.
Good.
That's not me personally, just the state's idea.
Some of us who's still spending, some of us who's still spending in the right way, still leave the money behind.
Yeah.
I know, sometimes tourists will come up to us and say, would you guys gamble?
Hello.
Why do I want to give somebody else my money? No, I mean, it's so nice.
Okay, we're gonna get started here.
It's a challenge.
I sat in a web seat.
Never know what I'm gonna bang into.
I would pretty love this, but.
Hello.
Put this on.
Don't you say have an eye.
Why? No one calls you.
Daniel's gonna turn me on.
You're not gonna hear it. That's only for a quick. You don't need that in here. You hand me the backup?
Does it pick that up?
Oh, yeah.
Do I need this?
Technically, no. Oh, sorry.
Can I just use my t-shirt?
That's fine.
No problem.
Technically, no, you don't need that. It's just a little extra for the sound, you know, because that's what I do.
No, I don't. Can you enlighten me, please? You guys don't know that.
If we're going to do something, we're going to do it.
You guys don't know that every time Daniel shows up here, everything changes just a little bit? No matter what.
What? Nothing's changed.
Every time. Where's Brad? Ask Brad, Rosie. I don't know. Oh, Brad's with the kids. Okay. I found out, or was asked to teach this class. So, I'm here tonight, and I don't have the luxury of being here Sunday with you, so you guys can kind of touch on what went over Sunday. The text for me was, cover the questions at the end of chapter 2, which is in our books. It says Colossians chapter 2, 16 to 23. So I am going to do my best to cover those questions with y'all. And then the text also said, intro to chapter 3. So I have some information and some stuff collected for us to start looking at chapter 3 in Colossians. So that's the goal for tonight. The goal for tonight is to look at those questions and then hopefully jump into chapter 3. Chapter 3 is kind of the turning of Colossians and some very interesting things. So I don't know how much I'm going to step on Mike's toes on the stuff that he has to cover or not cover, but we'll cover what we cover tonight. Hopefully it will be beneficial for you. And then Mike, the plan will be for Mike to take back over on Sunday. So, John Kay, would you lead us in a prayer?
Sure. Almighty Father, we humble ourselves before you this evening, and we give thanks to you for this midday chance, opportunity for brothers and sisters in Christ to come together to put you first in our lives and to learn from your holy, inspired word. And Father, we pray for the teachers this evening that they will be guided by you. We pray that all of the saints are attentive and engaged in the conversation that we learn from your word that guides our path. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. 9:45, right? Solomon? 7:45? Are we done at 7:45?
Yeah.
Okay. It always messes with me that, don't we? Is that the same on Sunday? Anyways.
Yeah, 9:45.
Okay, then that's why I'm not the bell ringer. I just listen for the bell. Okay, what did you guys cover on Sunday? Did you get through the end of Colossians chapter 2? If not, should we read it real quick? Why don't we read it real quick? Volunteer. So Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, 16 through 23. Do I have a volunteer?
I'll read it.
Go ahead, John.
Therefore, Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substances belong to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh.
Good, thank you. Okay, I don't have the answers, and sometimes Mike's questions are Mike's questions. So I will read the question out loud. We can just, good evening. There's always room in the front.
I know.
Always. And I don't have extra books for you guys. We're just going to go through some questions. I'll try to read them. So question number one, or question A, from Colossians 2:16-13 says, Paul identifies ascetic religions of others, sorry, regulations of others in, so chapter 2, verse 21, and then lists reasons why the regulations are empty and powerless in, we're in Colossians, chapter 2, 22-23, lists three reasons he gives. So the regulations are in 21, then he lists reasons why the regulations are empty and powerless in 22 and 23, list three reasons he gives. What do you guys got? Anything?
Well, we see kind of the theme of the whole letter overall in verse 17, the substance belongs to Christ. And we also see that before we started our reading tonight in verse 9, the whole fullness of deity dwells in him bodily. So anything outside of him is going to be empty.
Okay, good. Empty's definitely in there. What else? Verse 21. Let me read verse 21. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. So he sets those forth. And then 22 says, in accordance with the commandments of teaching of men. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abatement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. So again, this is kind of one of those questions where it's like, Mike, what are you thinking? But Patty, what do you got?
So Paul was fighting against a sect of Gnostics at this time. And what he's identifying in these verses are subgroups of those Gnostics, basically. So the Gnostics basically said that all flesh is evil. Let's see. Okay, I may be getting it mixed up. But you could only, your spirit was the only pure thing. Your body could do whatever it wanted, it was fine. But there's other groups of these. One of them, I can't remember the designations, but one of them was all about self-abasement, self-flagellation, beating physically and literally beating yourself up, which the Roman Catholics did a little bit in the Middle Ages as well. And then another group, what did they talk about? The asceticism. Where he says, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion. So this isn't Christ's religion,
right?
But it is an offshoot of Christ's church. And so they have profaned the church and added these other activities that they are saying you must do in order to please God.
Good.
And you know, we can criticize them all we want, and then we need to look in the year 2022 and see what other arcane things we are doing as well.
Yeah, that's kind of where I went. I just put that they will perish, teachings of men, an appearance of wisdom and self-made religion. And I think that's it. Again, we're not too far removed from don't be led astray from false teachers and dealing with false teachers and every wind of doctrine and all those things, right? And then they're man-made. They will lead us astray. And the end of verse 23 says what? No value, fleshly indulgence, right? There's no value to those man-made things. Because we're about to jump into chapter 3. Which chapter 3 is, if, then, and you continue through Christ and things like that. So I think that's a good thought. Other thoughts? Okay, how about letter B? Letter B is a little bit more, I think, straightforward. Letter B says, describe vainly puffed up, empty notions, and inflated without cause. So that's chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18 says, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. So that in there's other versions. That was the New American Standard. Anybody have a King James out there? What does the end of that verse 18 say?
Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind.
Vainly puffed up. I have an ESV here. I'll just read that real quick. ESV says, I think that's the one that...
No, I think he uses King James.
I believe that, yeah, that's why he lists all three, though. We're just picking up all three of those statements are just different translations. Verse 18 in the ESV says, puffed up without reason. So, what do you guys think? It says describe. What does describe mean? What does the statements mean when we describe? What is vainly puffed up, empty notions, inflated without cause?
Right.
Why is Paul saying that?
Vainly puffed up means that you're actually doing what you want to do. And you're vain with it. You're spreading it to other people. You're telling other people this is the right thing to do. And you're making your decision more powerful than you think God.
Yeah, and is that what the Gnostics were doing at the time? Yes. For sure. That's what Patty just did a good job of describing. Solomon.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have all the knowledge of the world and you have PhD, you have what, and you don't have God, that is pretty much in vain. It's nothing. So I think that vainly puffed up is kind of linked to that. You can know everything, and without God, it's nothing.
Yeah. Which, again, if maybe that looks different. I don't know. I grew up in the church my whole life. We've gone to church 3 times a week my whole life. And things like vainly wisdom from the world probably look different or sound different or feel different to me than someone that we may be trying to teach to that has never had that experience, right? Don't you think? So it might look different to different people, what vain wisdom and puffed up and things like that. But we have this knowledge. And again, in my other job, less important job, I have a lot of knowledge of things that mean nothing to you guys. But it makes me good at that. Important in that setting, but checking ourselves to make sure that we have the correct knowledge in the proper setting and serving God. Patty?
Well, he starts out this paragraph in verse 20 where he says, if you have died with Christ, the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you're living in the world, you submit yourself to these decrees. So if you're giving yourself over to Christ, which means you have submitted to him, why are you elevating yourself by worshiping angels, saying that they are equal in value to Christ? Or abasing yourself, saying this activity saves you, when in fact it's Christ who saves you? So they're really blaspheming them.
Right, which I think we've talked about a lot. Why were some wanting to hold on to those things?
They were comfortable with it, and their friends were doing it, and it's hard to give it up.
Absolutely. Raise your hand if you're guilty of being difficult to give something up because it's comfortable.
Well, I was raised in the church, and I didn't come 3 days a week.
Yeah.
So it was quite a change.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I think, but that's okay. Like, Paul is saying, whatever you came from, you have now died with Christ, and we're now raised, and that's chapter 3. If you've put away the old self, whatever that old self was, or is, or you're currently in, again, when I read Colossians, it's like, oh yeah, that old self. Well, there's probably things right now that I need to put away too. But, yeah, I like that. What else? John?
Well, I was raised in the Lutheran church. My parents were in the Lutheran church, so on. And then I got to reading the scriptures as to what they really say. And that's why I'm not in the Lutheran church any longer. But a lot of people are in their religion because of their parents and their grandparents.
Yeah.
History.
Which, a true and honest heart, what? We'll figure it out eventually, right?
Eventually.
Or should, if the heart's in the right place. Let's see. We can become full of ourselves and think we... Oh, okay, so that was like the other people, but I can do it myself too, can't I? I can be puffed up myself that I'm not properly handling things also. It's not just the other guy. It can be me too. Daniel?
In another context, Paul tells the Corinthians concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant or puffs up, but love edifies. It's the same idea that Paul's trying to get across here to the Corinthians. Just the knowledge base and the knowledge he was trying to deal with the Corinthians with versus with the Colossians with were two different things, or potentially several different things.
Right. Good.
And everyone's just getting puffed up by, oh, I know.
Yeah, and I was going to say, knowledge can be such a good thing, but it can also be such a hindrance when we're looking at it. And again, I think that self-reflection and looking within is important. Okay, good. Anything else before we sneak to the next question? All right, letter C on the next page. List a bunch of verses. It says Colossians 2:20, Colossians 2:11-15, Romans 6:9-11. I circled Romans. We should probably read Romans 7:4-6. I circled. So if you want to turn to Romans chapter 7. I don't remember why I circled that, but I circled it. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Someone want to read 4 through 6? Romans chapter 7. Let me finish reading the question. Whoever's going to read, hold it for a second. It says, how is Paul's principle in Romans, if we died with Christ, then we shall live with him, related in, which we've kind of touched a little bit on this already, but repeated, in Colossians 2, 16 to 20. What are we released from in this chapter? So how is Paul's principle in Romans? If we died with Christ, then we shall live with him. Repeated in Colossians 2, 16 to 20. And what are we released from in this chapter? Who has Romans 7, 4 through 6?
Released from the law. Released from the law.
Yeah.
It says here.
Right. So read. Do you have that? Let's read it for us. Romans 7, 4 through 6.
I mean, 4 through 6. Okay, I got to find it again. Okay. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law, to the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who is raised from the dead, that should bear the fruit of God, that we should bear the fruit of God. Is that right? For much? I didn't want to go on. That's four.
To the end of six. Okay. To the end of six.
For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
Good. So we've read Colossians 2. We read that. So let me ask you again. Mike has here. So what's repeated? The fact that we read it, it's verse. It's Patty pointed out. If we died, I think that was Patty that pointed that out.
Verse 21.
Verse 21. Verse 21 starts, if you have died with Christ. How have we died with Christ?
Baptism.
Baptism. Right? Just as Christ was crucified, put in the ground, taken back out, resurrected, we are buried in the water, we are raised back up. So in the same fashion, we have died with Christ. So that's the idea that's repeated. And Les, you were saying, what are we released from?
The law.
The law. Or what?
The Old Testament, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
Philosophy.
Okay. Again, if you're a Gnostic and you're saying we have to hold to this, 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 and this, what is Paul saying?
No. Give it up.
That's not it. You're wrong. Or not you're wrong, but what these people are telling you is incorrect. Right? And again, I as Patty pointed out, I think that's not new to us. And Mike has done a pretty good job of tying things from this book to us today, but that's not new. It's not what man says that matters, is it? It's what God says. And we're free from sin. Why? Because we have also been washed, being baptized, being buried with Christ and raised again. Okay, good. What else? Elementary principles of the world. I do think it's funny. I didn't do a huge word study. But I do find it interesting that Paul continues to say things like the elementary principles of the world. That no matter what comes from the world, it's elementary. I think that's Paul was careful in the words he chose, right? And I think that he continues to point out, hey, that stuff over there, that's elementary. Who cares? And then we also have pointed out that we're supposed to maybe start with the elementary things, but what are we supposed to move to? The better things, right? They're the solid food. So even we might start with the elementary things within Christ, but as we learn more, become more, serve more, continue to grow, which I think we're going to talk to in chapter 3, verse 1, but we should be moving forward also from elementary things. Daniel?
And I don't know, I didn't do this word study either, but the English word elementary could easily be broken down to mean a couple different things. Elementary, like this is the basic foundational stuff that you got to get away from. But I think what he's trying to get to with this is elementary as far as it's elemental. Mm-hmm. It's physical.
Oh, okay, fair.
Both are true, though.
Yeah, yeah.
This stuff, okay, these aren't bad places to start, but we got to move on to that into the true knowledge, yeah, of spirituality, etc. And that's what he's building toward in Colossians, yeah, that getting away from the physical things, moving on to the spiritual things. Both things are true.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Good. Other thoughts? Okay. Question D. Again, I don't have the key. Question D. Mike has. How does the body of Christ grow? I don't know. Did you guys have a second to look at that or glance at that? I'm not sure what he's looking for there. Maybe he's not looking for anything. Maybe it's just a thought question, which is okay too. But Solomon, I can tell you what I found, but.
Is it asking for the individual growth of each one? And that is how the body grows?
Sure. That's a good question. What I wasn't sure about was, is he talking about the body of Christ? Or is he talking about the body of Christ?
No.
Or, I mean, the body of Christ, how does the body of Christ grow? That's the, if we're dead and raised like Christ was, we are part of the body.
God.
Yeah, so I think, sure. John?
God gives the increase.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
And that's how the body grows.
Right. So I don't know. Verse 19, yeah. Hold fast from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joint and ligaments, mm-hmm, grows with a growth which is from God, which kind of gets to what John's saying. So I think that fits. How does it grow? It grows from God. So I think that's a good thought. I did put baptism because that fits too. Yeah.
Are you teaching Ephesians or is that Randy?
That is Randy.
Okay. Well,
what's in Ephesians that we need to look at?
Maybe? Ephesians 4 is the one he gave some as apostles, some as prophets. Oh, Ephesians 4:11 through 16. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all attain the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Paul explains, gives much more detail in Ephesians 4 of this very short phrase in Colossians 2 verse 19, supplied being the body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments grows with the growth which is from God. That's the part that Paul implies in Ephesians,
right.
And the rest of it is implied here in Colossians. And so that's why these two books are so
right.
integral to one another, is they right. both complement and fulfill in gaps.
Yeah, I think that's good. And again, that I guess that is talking about individually, but collectively as well.
Yeah,
we grow
collectively.
What else? Verse 7, built up in Him. What is verse? So Colossians 2 verse 7, which I know is out of our thing. It says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him. So if we're built up and in Him, I think that's growth too, right? Established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overwhelming with gratitude. So I have verse 7. Verse 10 says something about, I put made complete. Verse 10 says, and in Him you, that's the church in Colossae, but could be us too. Laodicea maybe, right? Either or. But that we can be made complete, that would be growth. Which, again, that's more before baptism and after baptism, right? But before baptism, we're not complete. When we're baptized, we are made complete. But that would be some kind of growth. So, can we grow without baptism? Maybe that's not a fair question. That's probably not a fair question.
Baptism is the birth.
Fair.
That's the birth point. It's just like when a baby or a dog is born.
But is,
it starts off at a certain size and must grow from there.
Because I want nothing to do with God to someone teaching me and I reach that decision, I think that's some kind of growth too. Maybe not growth here, but I don't know.
Well, you grow to a certain point in knowledge, but then you're faced with that choice.
Yeah.
And that's where the birth comes in, the second
that's
birth.
Fair. Yeah, yeah.
And that's where the growth of the church comes in after the...
Good thought.
And that's kind of the pet project of mine, this idea of the body and the growth. Because of what Paul writes here in Colossians, what he also writes in Ephesians 4, but what he also writes in 1 Corinthians and in Romans, mm-hmm. every joint supplies. Mm-hmm. The body's not going to grow to its full potential unless every part of the body is contributing to the growth of the body. And nobody can do what you do. No matter what you, and then we come back to the parable of talents too. No matter what you think you are in the body, if you're not contributing, then the body's is missing out on what you supply. And won't reach what it should reach without you. Which, it sounds like some self-help guru nonsense. Because the body's going to grow to perfect maturity with or without you. But, well, while we're in the body, we have responsibility to contribute to the growth of the body,
yeah.
to help the body get to where it needs to go.
Yeah.
To and mature man.
I agree. And as always, time gets away from you. But chapter 3 is like, it's like the ultimate self-help chapter. That's what chapter 3 is. Do you want to know what a Christian life looks like or should be? Colossians chapter 3. I don't know that we have a better example in the New Testament of what a Christian should be than Colossians chapter 3.
Well, there's a lot of, like, 2 Peter 1 verses 5 through 8 has another list of what you need to be. If you are this, you are a Christian. Ephesians has the same type of list. Galatians has that.
Yeah.
They're sprinkled throughout because constantly God is repeating Himself because it is critical that we see those virtues and understand that they build on each other.
I agree. Some things in the New Testament, it's hit once and then it's never hit again, right? But the idea of purity and love and Colossians chapter 3 and in the other examples, how many times does that hit? Almost every book, if not every one. I don't know off the top of my head. But if it's hit that much, how important is it for us? Probably of the utmost importance. And I think we get so caught up in this or that, and
I don't know. It's just, those are all great points. I completely agree. Completely agree. Does growth stop happening?
No. Well, yeah.
But, not talking about death. Should we ever, I don't know how to ask this correctly. Should we ever be done growing our, that's not going to come out right.
No.
You can't, you can always grow more, is my point. Instead of trying to ask a question, let's just, we can always grow more, yes? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what Paul says. Right? Sorry, sometimes I get so fumbled in trying to ask the right question. The point is we need to continue to grow continually. And that stands for me. That stands for what I can contribute to all of you and what all of you can contribute to me and the person sitting next to you. If we don't have the mentality that we've done enough or we're done, then a lot of the things that are issues aren't going to be issues. They're just not. Patty?
You can tell me I'm talking too much if you want.
I'm talking too much, so I like that you're talking.
Anyway, what are you doing?
You cracked the joke, not me. That's your fault.
So Philippians 2:3 maybe, I can't remember exactly, says, consider others more important than yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the whole reason we come together, I mean obviously we come to glorify God, but in that glorifying of God we are encouraging each other. We don't dare go away and say, well, that didn't even make me feel good. It's not about me. You should come away from a service, a worship, a Bible study, and say, I wonder if I said encouraging things, or did I put somebody down, or did I make a joke and I shouldn't have? That would be me.
Well, and Gene's sitting right next to you. The last class I remember Gene teaching was Philippians, and he started and ended and all the way throughout made that very statement. It's not about you. And when we met, to this day, Gene, I remember it. And I remind myself of that. Because, again, secular history, whatever, Kennedy stole that, right? He said, it's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. He stole that. That's God. It's not what you can do for me. It's what I can do for you. And in doing things for each other, we are edifying ourselves. And we're built up ourselves. Good. Jamie?
I've forgotten most of what I was going to say, actually. That's a lot of what Paul's getting at in Colossians, because I think it was you and me were talking not too long ago about what is it, the root cause of all the issues that we have in the world and in the church, and the root answer is selfishness. And when we become, and it even goes back to that puffed up without cause idea. When we get thinking, oh, I know better, I know what everybody needs, and then I don't get my way, now I've become the problem and could become a big problem to a congregation.
Right.
And that's the part of the humility part of it's not about me. It's about everybody.
Right.
I almost did that. I almost started a major problem in the church because I thought I knew better. And thankfully, some brother pulled me aside and just said a simple little thing. And, wow, really? Oh, yeah, you're right. Thanks. It changed everything.
Right. And I keep watching the clock click away. We're not going to get into chapter 3 as much as I wanted to, but humility is in the list. Like, it really is that simple. It really is that simple. If we're concerned about our brother and sister first, the rest of it will take care of itself. Paulie?
We have to concentrate on more of besides baptism of other people and teaching them, that we need to keep the saved saved, because otherwise we're neglecting our brothers and sisters.
For sure. And we absolutely have a responsibility to spread the gospel and try to teach people so that they're baptized. But clearly, we also have a responsibility to each other, just like we pointed out. Daniel?
Bringing in Hebrews again, since you brought it up earlier, about you didn't bring this passage up. You brought up the elementary principles one. Considering how to stir one another up to love and good works.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, the more I study congregational dynamics, how the littlest things that really should not matter, matter a great deal. think about the dynamics of this Bible study being in this room as opposed to the auditorium. How different these go just because of space and distance. And that thing should not matter, but it does. It makes a difference in our brains. And that's why this room was built, because someone said, hey, why don't we give this a try? They considered how to stir one another up, and that's why we have been trying to get back here, because it's where this is most edifying.
The Sunday night discussion class. That was exactly a result of what else can we do that may help, Solomon?
Oh, I was just going to say in Matthew 6, verse 12, that's what Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples. Forgive those. If you forgive others, I will also forgive you. And it's the same as what Paddy Jay said. If you want to benefit from the worship, you have to make sure others are benefited. And then, in return, you will get yours.
Good. And I always go to this, but our ultimate example is Jesus. And Jesus did what he did, was spat upon, abused, yelled at, and one of the last things he said before he passed was, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. If that's not putting your brother or sister before you, I don't know what is. And that even scares me a little bit. Because, man, that attitude or characteristic or heart, I guess, is the best. Jesus' heart was the people first. Because I know where I'm going, right? Matthew 6, you were in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's Jesus talking. Jesus came from heaven, came to the earth. He was going back. He knew it. But his concern was that everyone else also went. Okay. Question E says, I'm just really excited about chapter 3, and I'm not going to get to anything that I have. So we'll see what Mike teaches, and then I may have a lesson somewhere down the line with the stuff that I have prepared. But what is self-imposed wisdom and I think we've kind of covered that. False humility. That's that puffed up thing. We'll kind of skip that one. Question F, again, was one of those Mike questions, is how does asceticism or legalism appear wise or spiritual when it is not? Why are these things ultimately powerless against the flesh? Again, I just put, if we have died to Christ, the elementary things pass away. Daniel?
I don't remember, Sunday, if Mike defined what legalism is. I mean, we talked about it. But just in case, do anyone remember if you define legalism?
I don't know. I looked it up. The best I could find was excessive adherence to law or formula, which definitely describes what the Gnostics were doing.
Well, it really, that's a good definition, but it's not how the term is used.
Okay.
The term is used to describe people who, Christians in particular, who have an over or excessive focus on the law of Christ, but negate love. And that's where a lot of what we're seeing in our world with denominations is, love, grace, Jesus!
They're doing the opposite.
They're doing the opposite. And there's no focus on the law at all when they don't realize that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's literally law. And there's even a teaching, Jesus was a legalist. If that definition is an appropriate, a lawyer is a legalist by definition. But it's used to talk about people like us. Oh, no, you're a legalist if you say baptism is necessary. Well, that's what the Bible says. But no, it makes you a legalist.
Right.
And that's how legalism is defined. And Mike's using it appropriately for the way the term is used within the context of Colossians 2 and 3.
Good. Pat?
I was just going to say that God said he's a God of justice and mercy. And so sometimes groups of people decide it's all about mercy and there should be no justice, or others decide it's all justice and no mercy, but it's a combination of both at the appropriate time.
Yeah, fair. Okay, we got about 5 minutes, so we're going to sneak through a couple things. I would encourage you to read chapter 3, because Mike's going to hit chapter 3 starting Sunday. I did want to just look at chapter 3, 1 through 4.
We could spend a whole quarter on chapter 3, 1 through 3.
I know. And I have 5 minutes, so.
Someone hasn't rung the bell yet, so you have six.
Someone tackle Solomon. Can't ring the bell. Someone read 1 through 4. Someone read Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4 for us.
I'll read it.
Go ahead.
If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Okay. Only because I'm a math guy. Chapter 3, verse 1 has the most important word that Mike's going to spend more time explaining than me, which is what?
Therefore.
Therefore, but then after that it says, if.
Yeah.
What does if mean? Whose responsibility does it fall on?
Me.
Me. If. If there's an if, then you if can or you if can't. Right? If then statements. Yeah? You guys ever seen this?
Maybe.
Who remembers back to math in high school? That says, believe it it's, or not, it says if P then Q. You guys remember if then statements in high school? Anybody? If then? If this is true, then the second part is true or a result or there.
It's so what logic to it.
Yes. Yes. And you can go backwards, right? It's not always just in math. I don't know. If the Giants win, then they have one more notch in the win column. It doesn't have to be math. If you eat healthy, then you'll live longer?
Not necessarily.
True. So if then statements aren't always 100%. In math, they're like 100%. If I have good grades, then I'll enter into a good college? Maybe. Not all of the time. But what's true is not necessarily the other way sometimes. So what's in verse 1, since we didn't get to do everything, what's the if-then statement in verse 1? If you have been raised with Christ, and it doesn't say then.
Then, keep seeking.
But then. So if we have been baptized, what? We should be staying faithful. Some translations say keep seeking. That's that continual growth thing that I think we talked about. And the definition is important. Triangle. Somebody give me a definition. I'm not going to draw it. Definition of a triangle.
Three equal sides.
Three equal sides. Okay.
Not necessarily.
That's a triangle. Okay, what else? Definition of a triangle.
Three sides joined together.
Three sides joined together.
Three equal sides joined together.
All joined
together. So have we drawn it? Okay, keep going. You guys keep saying equal. Equal is only an equal outer triangle. Sides don't have to be equal in a triangle.
Oh, that's right.
What else?
Three joints, lines joined together, totaling 180 degrees.
What's 180 degrees? I like the continuous together too. What's that? Here's the definition of a triangle. Three sides and three
angles.
Good. Do you remember what, you guys remember what angles are called? They're called a vertex. So it's three sides and three vertex. That's a triangle, and it can be in any shape. What you're trying to say is the connecting or the continui or the three sides, and we always have a tendency of drawing either a right triangle or an equilateral triangle because that's just the way it goes. But you can talk about a triangle in so many different ways, but unless you give a proper definition, are you going to result with a triangle? No, right? Has to be a proper definition. Now, the only other connection, someone said 180 degrees. Yes, in a triangle, these add to be 180, 100%. But that's not a requirement. Because if you have three sides and you have three vertices, the result is 180 degrees. So it's actually not part of the definition. So when I think of chapter 3, verse 1, if what? If I've been raised with Christ, then what should I be doing?
Seeking
the things above. The rest of chapter 3 gives us. And it's fascinating to me. Paul could put anything he wants in there. What are some of the things he talks about? Do you think it's by accident that Paul talks about marriage when he's talking about seeking things above and humility and all those things? I don't know. I just think that's funny. He talks about marriage. He talks about a husband to the wife and a wife to the husband and a father to their children. He talks about an honest day's work, right? We're going to get into chapter 3, but towards the end it talks about earning and doing those things. And I apologize that we didn't have a time to read. But I just think it's fascinating that all those things, he talks about thankfulness in our hearts. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the Lord. Do not lie. Renew to a true knowledge. It's just, I think it's fascinating. Paul can put whatever he wants in there. But he puts specific things. We're out of time. I appreciate your time. And chapter 3 will continue on Sunday. So read chapter 3. Be ready for Mike. Thank you, everybody. Okay.